When Joshua was young and we attended church at the Texas City Church of Christ, just north of Galveston, he had a teacher there who taught him the song, The Gospel Train. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the song, The Gospel Train. Familiar, it's a very short song, and it goes like this. Gospel train, gospel train, everyone aboard. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptize, save the Lord. And then you repeat that, and that's it. That's the song. Tune is, and not hear another word of lesson, it's Jingle Bells, if you didn't pick up on that, right? Jingle Bells is the tune, and then the words are adapted, obviously. And we use music, especially in the young classes, as a learning mechanism, right? To help kids remember and to help kids learn, and they're very effective, even for adults, apparently, obviously, right? And so it's a song that's sort of stuck with me through the years. And while it is a very simplistic song, overly simplistic, you could say, we understand there's more to the gospel than what's recorded in that little song, in that little tune. We would also recognize, we would all agree with the sentiment that we want everyone to get on board the gospel train, don't we? We want everybody on board the gospel train, headed to salvation, headed to heaven, right? And it is a catchy little tune that can help encourage the young people and inspire the motivate the young people with that message. We also recognize, just with the reality of life, not everybody's going to get on that gospel train, are they? There's another train that a lot of people happen to get on, and that's called the gossip train. And more people get on the gossip train than on the gospel train, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I don't have a song for it, just so you know. But we are going to be talking about the gossip train tonight. Gossip is a clear and present danger in regards to sin. We could describe all sin that way, right? But gossip is certainly one of those sins that can creep up on us, that we can be involved in before we know it. And something we always have to be on guard against. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later in the lesson. But as we begin, just be mindful that gossip is like a wildfire. It is destructive. It is not productive. It is destructive. And it is a destructive force. And it spreads rapidly and wildly without control and can wreak havoc and lay waste. It is fierce and unrelenting and is never satisfied. And the only time that gossip ever dies out like a wildfire is whenever it loses oxygen. And by that I mean people wise enough to stop speaking, breathing it out, right? Speaking it out into existence. In James chapter 3 and verse 5, if you'd turn there with me, in James chapter 3 and verse 5, we are warned of the greatest fire starter of them all, and that is the tongue. In chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell." You consider this that is spoken about the tongue and the great destruction that can come from it. How many forest fires have been started because of people who are irresponsible with matches? How big is a match? So tiny, so small, and yet can cause thousands of square miles worth of destruction, can it? That people are irresponsible with something as small and simple as a match. And so is the tongue. If we are irresponsible with our tongue, especially as it comes to gossip, we too can spread that gossip like a wildfire and bring about destruction as a result. How many lives have been set on fire because people are irresponsible with their tongues, because people do not guard their tongues? They are careless of the consequences. That's something as Christians that we always have to be on guard for, that we always have to be mindful of, careful about, conscious of, to make sure that we do not spread the wildfire of gossip and be participators in the irresponsibility or the unrighteousness, and especially in the destruction. As we said before, gossip is not productive, it's destructive, isn't it? Nobody ever said, I'm going to build up the church, let me start a little rumor. I'm going to strengthen and encourage the brethren and bring us all closer together, let me pass on a little bit of gossip. It doesn't work like that. We all recognize the destructive force and the destructive nature of gossip. Gossip is a deadly and destructive sin. It's not something to be taken lightly or diminished, especially when you can be dismissive towards gossip. They don't think of it in the same terms as murder or adultery, something that they would consider to be severe sins that do severe damage and can leave a wake of severe destruction. But nonetheless, we see whenever God speaks of the sin of gossip, He does talk about how deadly and destructive it is. Consider Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. God lists this sin amongst other sins that are associated, verse 28, with the depraved mind. It's not the godly mind, it's not the righteous mind that would be engaged in gossip, it's the depraved mind. And he goes on to say in verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. In this list of sins that is provided here, and we understand this is not even an exhaustive list, but in this list of sins that is provided here, we see the severity of gossip, that it's not a sin that is to be taken lightly. In fact, in verse 32 it says, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And so this sin of gossip is listed amongst these sins worthy of death here, described in verse 32. And so when you look to the Word of God, certainly the Word of God conveys to us the severity of this sin. It's not a sin to be taken lightly. It's not a sin to not be concerned about or to not be mindful of or to not be cautious of or to not be wary of. It is a deadly and destructive force. And we see from passages like this that certainly gossip has no place in the life of a righteous, godly, holy Christian who is seeking to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Consider Ephesians chapter 4. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, as we have it presented, the difference between the godly lifestyle of a Christian versus the lifestyle of somebody who is not a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 29, it says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Does that sound like gossip? Is gossip wholesome or unwholesome? Is gossip good for edification? Or is it worthless for edification? Is gossip ever needed in the moment? Does gossip ever give grace to those who hear? It doesn't. We realize from any one of these specific things in this verse, or all of them put together, that gossip has no place in the life of a Christian, in the heart of a Christian, in the mind of a Christian, in the mouth of a Christian. And it goes on to say here in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And while gossip is not used in this list here, there are things like slander and malice that are associated with gossip throughout the Scriptures, whenever that word is seen. And we can see that these are other attitudes and other actions that are often associated with gossip. Contrasted to the life of a Christian, verse 32, which is to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. The person who is kind and considerate of their brethren is not going to be passing along gossip of any time. The person who is kind and considerate of their neighbor doesn't have to be your brethren, doesn't have to be a church setting, right? Be kind to anyone. It's not going to be somebody who passes along gossip. And so we have to be mindful about gossip in our lives to make sure that we are not the source of gossip and to make sure that we are not a carrier of in the gossip. When we learn of someone being in sin, what is our reaction? If we hear a rumor of it, is it to automatically assume that the rumor is correct, or is it to patiently wait and see if more facts, more evidence, more information comes to the surface? Do we pick up the nearest phone, which is usually in our purse or in our pocket, and seek to go about as a private investigator and call everybody and say, "Hey, have you heard?" And see if they might have more facts or information, all the while spreading perhaps rumors to others? Or is our first reaction to go to God in prayer and pray that the rumor not be true? Or pray that if the rumor is true, that those who are caught up in sin might turn to the Lord? Or go to God and pray that rumors not spread and the destructive force of gossip continue on to others and harm other people's souls? What's our reaction when we hear that salacious or that juicy news that may come across our ears from time to time about others? Perhaps whenever we're considering how to act or how to react, we should consider Jesus. Would Jesus be picking up the phone to share it with other people? Or would Jesus be going to the person themselves that they heard the rumor about and seek to help them, seek to comfort them, to be an edification to them in some way? To help. To love. That's what we know Jesus would be involved in doing. Gossip, in its sinful nature, is so cunning and deceitful that it can fool well-intentioned people with good hearts. There have been times in my life where I've heard people gossiping, and they didn't even realize they were doing it. At least I don't think they were. From all appearances, it didn't appear as though they knew they were involved in the gossip train and hopped right on board with that gossip train and were calling others to get on board with it as well. Because sometimes we think as Christians, well, because I'm saying it and I'm a Christian, then it can't be gossip. Or we may say, well, because it's true, therefore it's not gossip. Gossip can be true and still be gossip. And sometimes it takes the form or the fashion of we hear about some sort of sin, the news of other people's sin, and so we say, well, let me go tell that news to five people. But when I tell them, I'm going to say, pray for the individual, right? I'm just telling you so that you'll know, pray for this person, right? All the while using that prayer sort of as a cover for you to be the one who's out there on the front line sharing the news. And look, you're the one who's in the know. You know, if you need to know something, I'm the person to come to. I know all the stuff that's going on. And we put ourselves out there as that person by spreading the news, quote unquote news, like that. I've certainly seen brethren who have been involved in assuming things about brethren. Sometimes whenever people come forward, for example, and they ask for prayers from the congregation, they may want to keep the details about what's going on private for very obvious reasons. And so sometimes whenever we get up and we say, pray for this individual who is seeking prayer and is seeking comfort and is seeking encouragement and edification, As we sit in the pew, we may say, well, they didn't give me all the details, so let me go ahead and just assume what the details must be, right? And begin to assume and presume and perhaps whisper some of those presumptions along to others. Certainly seen that happen. I've certainly experienced things like that personally. There have been several times, but I'll just note one in particular. Whenever I had gotten up and preached a sermon, those who, I guess afterwards, had gotten together and talked about the sermon, and they had decided why I put that sermon together and the motives behind why I preached that sermon. It wasn't on gossip, but it was something else. And why I had preached that sermon and who I was out to get whenever I preached that sermon. And by the time they came to me to actually ask me what the origin of the sermon was and find out why I had preached it and had put it together and presented it the way that I did, how many people had the gossip already spread out to about the false conclusions that they had come to for the motive behind that lesson? And I don't say this to condemn others, certainly in my own life. I have not guarded my soul from time to time, particularly when I was more young, and got caught up on the gospel train just like everybody else. It can be easy to do, which is why it is such a clear and present danger, considering the destructive force that it is, and why we have to be vigilant against it. Whenever we consider what gossip is, it's interesting when you look at the word. There's no Greek word for gossip. And what I mean by that is I can't just say, well, you look at your New Testament, and if you look in the Greek, there's a word that is gossipo in Greek, and then that converts to gossip in English. It just doesn't exist, right? There's a couple of different words in the Greek, which when it comes to translating it into English, that the translators use the word gossip for each of those different terms. And so one of those is this idea of being, and that's the idea in Romans chapter 1 and verse 29 that we were reading before, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. Your version may say whisperer. They are whisperers. And so again, it's the idea of whispering, not supposed to be appropriate. It's not right. Another way in which we see the word being used is this idea of being a tattler. A tattler. For example, look in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 13. While this is another Greek word that is used here, opposed to what we read in Romans 1:29, it is still translated with our word gossip. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says in verse 11, but refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires and disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation, because they have set aside their previous pledge. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle, go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Now, is he saying that all younger widows are going to do that? Obviously not. It's a warning, isn't it? It's something to be vigilant of. But nonetheless, in verse 13, when we see that phrase gossips there, the idea is a talebearer or a tattler. That is, going from house to house and tattling on other Christians and spreading news, perhaps with slander against other Christians, or at least information they don't know about, or even if they do know about it, shouldn't be sharing with others. Don't have the place, don't have the right to be sharing it in that form with others, and yet that's what they are doing. And so we see that is another way. If you stay in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we've been talking about elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have wives or deaconesses or elders' wives talked about here as well. And just as there are qualifications, character traits, circumstances that elders must possess, so we see is the case with those who are the wives. It says in verse 11 Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Have you ever read that? And in your version it says not malicious gossips, and thought to yourself, well, malicious here is a modifier of gossip, and I'm just a regular gossip. I'm not a malicious gossip. Therefore, it's okay because I'm not a malicious gossip. That's not actually how this word is broken down. And this one I find to be most interesting, because you know what the Greek word is here that's translated malicious gossip in our versions, and it occurs a few different times. It occurs here, it occurs in Titus chapter 3 in verse 3, it occurs in Titus chapter 2 in verse 3, or excuse me, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 3, and Titus chapter 2 verse 3 for those who are taking notes. The Greek word here is diabolos, D-I-A-B-O-L-O-S, diabolos. And yes, that does sound like diablo, because that's what it's associated with. The term diabolo being the devil or Satan specifically, right? And what is Satan known as? So Satan is known as the master of lies. He's known as a deceiver, as a slanderer. And so whenever you see the word malicious gossip translated in the New Testament, that's the Greek word that it's coming from, is diabolos. Like you're a devil, right? Because you're passing along this information. You're sowing discord with this information. You're being deceitful with this information, slanderous with this information. And while that one does carry with it the idea of being a false accuser and does carry with it the idea of being a slanderer, the very first one we talked about, being a whisperer, doesn't necessarily imply something that is untruthful. You can be a whisperer, you can be a gossip, and you can speak truth in your gossip, but you're still a gossip. Because you're sharing what's not supposed to be shared. You're sharing what you don't have a right or a place to share, with whom you don't have a right to share it. By way of example, consider Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19. Perhaps that will explain it full enough. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 19 it says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore do not associate with a gossip." And so by way of parallelism, the one who is the slanderer is the one who is the gossip, and what they are revealing is secrets. And it's not that the secret is untrue, it's that they don't have a place. They don't have a right to be sharing that information. And you may ask the question, well, how does that show up practically, David? What would be an example of sharing something that I don't have a place to share, something that's a secret that I shouldn't be sharing? And that's not to say that if you ever shared a secret by accident that you were a gossip, right? Certainly we can do those. Sometimes we may not know things are secret and we share that information, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we're a gossip. But clearly from Proverbs chapter 20, you can see it's with that intention, isn't it? Knowing you're not supposed to be sharing this, knowing that it's a secret. And an example again could be somebody who's involved in sin. We rush to judgment. We rush to spread the news. Sometimes we rush to spread the news, especially if it's a rumor, and especially if it's something that has those juicy details again. And we should not rush to get on the gossip train for fear we are missing out on being part of the ride. Sin is horrible. Sin is terrible. Sin is destructive. And we should have no interest in being its publicist. And we should have no interest in making it harder for those caught in sin to deal with it. That's why sometimes when people come forward, all the details aren't shared. That's why sometimes when we've heard about sins that people have been caught up in, it's important for us to not be the person who continues that gossip train on to the next station, right? That we not be the publicist of the gospel, because that's going to make it all the more difficult for that person or those people who are caught up in that sin and are trying to overcome it. we are speaking is not edifying, if what we are speaking is not true, if what we are speaking, we don't have a right to speak, or we don't have a right to share it with the person that we are talking to, then it's gossip. And we need to not be involved in speaking it and sharing it. Many times, brethren will gossip of other brethren who are in sin without ever realizing that they too are sinning by being the gossip, by spreading the information, by spreading the news. And in that case, if you are one who is gossiping about somebody else and you are sharing that information or sharing that news, obviously speaking about these people, and man, can you believe what they said? Can you believe what they did? Can you believe what sin they're caught up in? And condemning that sinner, understand that we're no better off if we're the ones spreading the gossip. We are in sin just as much as they are. We can't categorize their sin as worse than our sin. Sin is sin. Sin has the same result. In James chapter 2, in verse 10, it says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not commit murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." And again, that's part of the deceitful nature of this sin, is that it ensnares so many people oftentimes without them even recognizing it and recognizing how it ensnares their soul. What we should be using our hearts and our minds and our mouths for as Christians is to round up folks to get them on the gospel train and not waste any time with the gossip train. When you think about it, the final destination of the gossip train is, after all, the same destination as anybody who's not on the gospel train. The gossip train is not going to the place that you want to go. It's not headed to that final destination that you want to arrive at. And so make sure you're not on that train, but instead, you're always on the train of truth, of righteousness, of godliness, of holiness. The gospel train. Make sure that your allegiance is to God, to Christ, to the truth of the Holy Spirit, and that you're out there using your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength to share the good news of the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we offer the invitation tonight, we can ask everybody to consider the state of your soul. What have you been living your life devoted to? What have you been following? Have you remained true to the Lord? Are you using your speech to spread the truth of the gospel, or have you used your speech to spread the wildfire of sin? Are you caught up in sin? Are you lost in sin? Do you need the help and prayers of this congregation? That's who we offer the invitation to at the end of our services, those who need to obey the gospel. In confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, because that's what you believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, being penitent of sin, and being baptized with Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, or if you've done that, are not walking faithfully with the Lord, and need to be penitent before Him, and need the help and prayers of this church, we encourage you to make that known by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.